Let's make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. A great revival is coming like we've never seen before, people. And when I say revival, I mean God, number one, stirring the hearts of Christians. We have a lot of Christians that are lukewarm. You might say, well, how do you know that? You can tell by the way they live. You can tell by the way they speak. You can tell by the things they do. I'm not questioning their salvation, but I'm questioning where they stand with God. They're lukewarm. But God is about to bring a revival of the ones that used to know God and have backslidden and gone in a direction of not serving him anymore. And also a revival of ones that never knew him before, that they're coming in. And also a revival of people that are in the churches, and they may even go to church often, but they're the coldness or the lukewarmness is overshadowing their heart. They just, it's not a priority to them, you know, for the most part. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, there are some people that just, and there are some people that can't go to church for whatever reasons, you know, especially with this thing going on, you know, elderly, it's kind of hard. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about a great mass revival that is coming to America that we have never seen before. You might say, well, hasn't America gone overboard and done things that would make God be angry? Maybe so, but also we need to look at it this way, that God says in his word, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will come in and I will heal their land. Healing of the hearts of the people of God. We need a mighty revival like we've never seen before, and I think it's coming because of the great uprising of evil that we've never seen before. And because evil is rising, that means the evil world is seeing or about to see what God is about to do. And so when you see things rising up, that's kind of a thing you can kind of look at. You say, okay, Lord, something is about to happen. What are you about to do? What are you about to do? And I'm talking about a mass revival of people wanting to know the Lord, wanting to know him, to seek him and to honor him, to know him in a way that we've never seen before. This takes prayer. This takes time. This takes battling for the souls of people. You know, you look at the mass revivals that were in the early 1900s and even 40s and 50s, how you had men, great evangelists, that could go into an auditorium that fit 90 to 100, 200,000 people and fill it up with people. Yeah. I mean, fill it up. And these people were hungry for the things of God. How much hunger do we really have for the things of the Lord? Lord, yes, I know we've all gone. Hey, look, everybody has gone through certain areas or certain things in their lives that has just hurt or done things in us. But the Spirit of God is still wanting to move like we've never seen before. And he's looking for leaders that will go forth and pronounce the blessings and the power and the presence of Almighty God and not back down from what God wants them to say. You look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their Hebrew names, their Egyptian names. The Hebrew was others. But how they stood up in the midst of fire. They stood up. They stood up and did not bow to the king's idol. We need a people that will stand and say, and I told Jelaine, I said, you know what? I said, from this day forward, we're going to try to have church every Sunday. every Wednesday. I don't care what comes down from up top. It's time the church rise up. Yes. You know, in New York, they're telling the churches they can't meet, or if they meet, they can only have 5 to 10 people. And let me tell you, what about all these rallies that are going on all over the place? And they 6 inches apart, maybe at most, 2 inches apart, but yet they're hollering out evil. They're not telling them that they can't get together. And you have the Archdiocese of New York that has gone to the, and filed a suit that's gone to the Supreme Court. And you know what he said? He said, "We will win." Amen. And I said, it's about time that the church, however you want to say it, the church, I'm talking about all religious, that's not all the church, the body of Christ, but religion. It's about time the religious community stands up and says, you have overstepped your boundaries. You cannot tell the church when to meet or not to meet because of whatever's going on. And he knows, he said, we're going to win. We know what our bylaws of our country says. They're going to win. Thank you, Lord. I want you to bring up that first scripture of I think it's in Matthew. Oh, you have it up. Oh, man, thank you. Wow, that's almost said magic. Y'all didn't realize y'all were at Disney World? Who's Mickey? Who's Minnie? Amen. But it says this. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, remember, he says this, it's his harvest. His harvest. He says that the laborers are few. That means, you know, nowadays it's all combines and, you know, they doing, you know, but years ago they didn't have a lot of that stuff, and it was manual labor of people getting out there. You probably, your mothers and your fathers, just like my mother and my father, they picked cotton and did all that stuff, you know. They had to get out there and do those things. But the Lord is saying that the laborers are few. He's saying there's few leaders. And you might say, well, am I a leader? Everybody's a leader over somebody or something. You know, you might be a leader over your children, a leader over somewhere in the community, a leader, you know, in your family, a leader somewhere. You are a leader to somebody. But God is saying that the harvest is plentiful. That means the harvest is ripe to be harvested. The crop is ripe to be harvested. And God is saying that there are not enough people to harvest it. And I said, Lord, raise up men and women that are ready to harvest, ready to get out in that field. And what I'm saying, a field, I'm talking about wherever we're at, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We may be in a doctor's office. God will set somebody right next to you that needs to hear a word from the Lord. You might be at a store somewhere, any store, and God will bring people across that aisle that needs to hear a word from God, from you. You may be working on your job, and God will bring certain men and women right next to you for whatever reason. You might be in your home, and God will bring certain salesmen to your home. Don't run them off for a minute. Offer them something to drink, and you share Jesus with these people. You'll see how fast they run. If that's okay. But you see, the harvest is plentiful. We got to be on tune with what the Spirit of God is saying. Come on, Lord, help us to be leaders that we can be full of the Spirit of God, not ashamed of who we know, not ashamed of where we go church-wise, not ashamed of who we serve, but we're proud of who we serve. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were proud to stand up straight and tall and say, we will not bow to that God, that idol. We will only bow to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To have that kind of stamina in our hearts and in our lives. But that we would stand for the truth of the gospel. There are multitudes out. Don't buy into what the devil says that nobody wants to hear. And I know there are some that may not, but that's okay. There's another one that wants to. The Bible says that the harvest is plentiful. There are a lot of people that need to know about Christ. There are a lot of people that has not accurately heard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to tell it. We got to tell it wherever we are. Don't give up on that. We give what we have. We give what we have to a people that are waiting for it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood strong and said, I'll not bow to that idol. And we know what happened to them. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. But you know what? They didn't know that God would be with them in the fiery furnace, people. Can you imagine, people, wherever we go, because we serve our God is with us. No matter what goes on, no matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what happens in January, our God is still with us and our God is still on the throne. Our God will get things done that he needs to get done by his servants, by his people. No matter what the world system may hold, God's system overrules man's system by far. And those three men got in there, and what did they see? They saw the Son of Man with them. Can you imagine the revival that took place in that fiery furnace full of fire? You might say, Pastor, I've been under the fire. That's okay. Sometimes we need a little fire. Yes, it's true. Sometimes we need a little fire because you know what? We get settled too much. Yes, there's too many settled Christians that just sit there and do zero for the kingdom of God. You might say, well, what do you mean zero? That means, look, zero. You might say, well, what can I do? Number one, pray. Amen. Pray for the church. Pray for your pastors. Pray for the people that are in charge over you, you know, in certain areas. Pray, prayer. We need praying Christians. You know that's a rarity now. And interceding, praying Christians, that's almost a rarity. And look where it has gotten us. I've been saved 30-something years, going on almost 40 years. I remember when I first got saved, how the church, the body of Christ, would come together. We saw many things happen that were miraculous. You heard about things that were going on all over the place. People were praying. We need to get back to our first love. You might say, well, how do I pray? You seek God. You go to him. Just talk with him. Saying, Father, move upon the church. Get scriptures out. Quote the scriptures of verses. Saying, Father, I believe your word and I stand upon it. Lord God Almighty, move upon our pastors. Move upon the church. Move upon Gaydon. Move upon Kaplan. Move upon the areas that we've never seen move before. Lord, change the lives of people like we've never seen before. God is looking for leaders that will move and pray and seek God. And everyone, raise your hand if you can. Everyone's a leader. Yes, amen. To someone. Amen. You leading and guiding. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. It makes you want to shout almost, you know. Yes, hallelujah to the King of Kings. What God can do in the midst of the fire of the Spirit of God. Remember when you first got saved? What you felt on the inside? you just love God so much. Both of us. We all love. Don't let things come in and crowd your love and your dedication to your God. Keep it clean before you. Saying, Lord, let me feel that again. I know we don't go by feelings, but Lord, let me sense and feel your presence again. You don't know how many churches are gathered this morning and there's no Spirit of God in that place at all. At all. There's nothing. There's probably more life in a fan than there is in the pew. I mean, and I don't say that in laughing manner. I say that with a heavy heart. Because that's supposed to be the church. The power of God. I want you to turn, if you would. God is looking for a person, a people, that will look to him. I want you to turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. There was a man called Moses. Moses, because of what God had done in his early part of his life in saving him. Remember a decree had went out to all the Hebrew children that they were to be killed from 2 years of age and under. I mean, it was a decree. And Moses' mother had hid him by the power of God. And all of a sudden, she made a little boat type thing. She put him in it under direction of the Holy Spirit and set him on the river. And Pharaoh's sister saw the little basket and heard the crying of a baby. And she had her mistress or her servant go out and bring that in. And when she opened it up, by the Spirit of God, she fell in love with that child, which was Moses. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's home. In Acts chapter, 2, it talks about he stayed with the Egyptian power and in the Egyptian home for about 40 years. I mean, he grew up, he had the best of schooling. He had the best of clothes. He had the best of food. I mean, he had everything. But he knew in the end that he was Hebrew. And it says, he knew that God had raised him up to be a great leader. And he had the best of everything in Pharaoh's house. 40 years of the best. And he goes out and he kills an Egyptian that was beaten on a Hebrew and covered him up in the sand. And all of a sudden it said the sand kind of eroded and you could see the body basically. And somebody talked about how, Moses had done this, and Moses got scared and thought Pharaoh would find out, and he fled. Sin will make you flee from the church and the body of Christ. Sin will do that. That's why you look at your heart and you say, Lord, heal anything that needs to be healed in me, Lord. Touch me. Touch me. I'm not talking about, stuff that just you fighting and trying to conquer, and God is doing a work. But a lot of Christians will flee and go back into the world because they couldn't overcome something. And all of a sudden, Moses runs from Egypt. And he ends up in a place called Midian. He ends up in Midian. And he marries one of the daughters there. And for 40 years... it says that Moses, another 40 years. So Moses is 80. For 40 years, He takes care of the flocks. He does manual labor. And he's thinking, for 40 years, I thought God had called me to be the leader to bring the people out. Can you imagine the torment of the mind that Moses went through for 40 years? You know how many times God has spoken to you something and it has not come to pass, and the devil says, aha, it won't come to pass. Look, it won't happen. Look, when God speaks something, you can bank on it. You can bank on it. That it will happen no matter what the enemy says, no matter what people say, no matter what we even think at times. When God speaks, it is said, it is done. You can write it down. It will happen no matter what. Amen, huh, Miss Gail? Hallelujah. Should have stood up and shouted, hallelujah. Amen. There's life here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God said it, he will do it. God said it, he will do it, no matter what. And one day, Moses is, after 40 years, just tending the flocks. And we're going to read it, chapter 3. And all of a sudden, he said, didn't I see that bush a while ago burning? And it's still the same size. It's been burning for a few hours now, and it's still the same size. And you know, that does not happen. When you burn something, I mean, you could have logs, sticks, and you come out with a little bit of ashes in the end. You could put it in a jar. You know, a whole tree goes in a jar. You know. But let's read what happened, and we'll come back to it. Now, you have to remember, God is making this man into a great leader. And so what needs to happen in him, God needs to let him rely upon him and not upon his own strength. You see, and that's what God is trying to do in us also. To get us to rely not on the arm of the flesh, that means the flesh, what we think, but to rely on the arm of God and what he says and what he says to do. Look at verse chapter 3. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, verse 1. His father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Verse 3. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he, Moses, turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And I want to stop there just for a minute. There was a bush that was burning. Now listen to this. He had to turn to that bush before it says the angel, which was Christ, spoke to him. There's a lesson to be learned here. We got to turn in the direction of our God. Yes, okay? Do you understand? We cannot be lollygagging all over here and doing what we think and doing all. We got to turn in the direction of our God. And when we turn in the direction of our God, then he starts to speak to us. We got to make sure we're in the direction of where he wants us to be. We got to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. We got to make sure we're at where God wants us to be. We got to make sure we're in that direction. Because it's not till he recognized the bush, looked at it, went to it, inspecting it, that the angel, which was Christ, spoke to him. Now we have the Spirit of God in us. When we go in the direction of our God, in the direction of our God, he will speak to us. He will show us things. He will reveal himself to us. You see, God is wanting to lead his people in the right direction, where he wants us to be. You see, he is a God, he's a shepherd that leads his sheep in the right direction. So if you hear a voice and it's not leading you in the right direction, it's not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah, right. You got to be careful in the things you hear on TV with all these prophets. Be careful about all that stuff. Be careful about things. Now, there's a lot of great ones and good ones, but there are some that are a little shady here. It said in verse 3, and Moses said, I will turn aside and see the great sight that the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he, Moses, turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the bush. Wow. God called out to him. Look, we're living in a day of revival, and God is calling out to his people. God is saying, Joe, come on, let's do this. Joe, come on, let's get this done. Joe, come on, there's a lot to be done. Joe, come on, let's get this done. God is calling out to you. There are many things that need to be done in the kingdom of God that he's wanting you to do. And I know some of you are thinking, well, Lord, you know, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Don't ever think of yourself as nothing. Amen. You are something. Yes. Amen. You're worth the blood of Jesus Christ. You are great in the precious hands of your God. Yes. Amen. It's when we get a lofty attitude about ourselves, like Moses had, that God has to calm down and said, oh, no, now look to me. And look at, let's pick this up. Look at verse 5. And he said, draw not near hither, put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptian oppresses them. Come now therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? That shall I say, what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I'll stop right there. Here we see the making of a great leader, Moses. Yes, he made his mistakes. Yes, he killed somebody. Yes, he, you know, he made some mistakes, didn't hear God correctly on certain things, maybe. But the burning bush came to him. God is the God of second chances all the time. We may mess up sometimes, and we may not do things exactly how God says, and God will come back and change it for us. He's the God of second chances again and again because of his grace and his mercy. And when he came out unto him, he said, Moses, take off your shoes. Some preachers have said he told him to take off his shoes because he didn't want anything between him and God. But it says, and the scripture says, that he was standing on holy ground. Wherever the presence of God comes in, it is holy ground. When the power of God comes into your home, that's holy ground. When the power of God comes into a camper, that's holy ground. Hey, when the power of God comes into a tent, that's holy ground. When the power of God comes into a church setting, that's holy ground. When the power of God comes into Larry's, you're talking with somebody, shopping, whatever you are. DG Mall, doesn't matter. DG Mall becomes holy ground unto God, because that's a holy sanctuary unto him. And all of a sudden, he says, take them off. And God, the Holy Spirit, our Father, spoke to Moses. Moses changed his life. God changed Moses' life. He wasn't that arrogant leader that said, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to take these people out and, you know, do it the way I think and kill all these Egyptians and take the people out. No, when the power of God came, it says that he was humble before him, before God. God changed Moses' life. He grew in wisdom 40 years. You know, sometimes we think we're ready to do a certain ministry or to do a certain thing. And sometimes God will speak and say, no, not right now. Amen. Not right now. You know how you don't know how many people say they're called by God to preach the gospel. And hey, look, we need preachers, people. We need preachers because we need the harvest to come in. But you can tell by some of them, I don't know about you being called. You know, you kind of, okay, and you let the fruit fall where it may. But God is raising up, and God raised up Moses. It's amazing to me, and I'm about to close. It says this, that he said, Father, when I go to the Israelites, who do I tell them sent me? You know, he didn't say, you know, when I go to Pharaoh, you know, God gave him the rod for all that stuff. But he said, what do I tell them? And the Father speaks to him in the latter part of that chapter and saying, tell him, I am that I am. The I am has sent him. And I said, wow, look at this. People, God is looking to raise you up to be that person that will stand. Yes, and saying the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Amen. The only way to have victory is to look to the cross and what Christ did at the cross. The only way that God can move is by us humbling ourselves before him to stand up and speak the truth of the gospel. See, God is looking to raise you up. Spend that time with him on a daily basis. Spend that time of prayer and reading of that word and getting it in you. It took 40 years. I don't have another 40. Most of us say, we'll have another 40. Lord, get this stuff out of me. You know, whatever hinders the God. You know, we don't realize, you know, we point things out sometimes in people's lives. You know, and is, you know, God said it's a splinter, but we don't see the beam in our own eye. Huh? And you know, and I've said, Lord, show me the beams in my eyes. Me. Not in no, you know. We need to look at our Lord, show me, help me to be the leader that this church needs in the latter days. Help us to be the leaders that we can give out what is profitable for you, Lord. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. God is looking for laborers, people. Let him depend upon you. That you would share the gospel no matter where you are. No matter what's going on. That if God opens that door, you stick your foot in it. And you tell about Christ. Spend time with him, people. Spend time. This time, you know, I know November, December, holidays about to start, people. And people are busy, crazy busy. You know, don't go throughout your day and you didn't even open your Bible to read something. Don't go throughout your day and you didn't even take the time to thank him. Take that time with him. Grow in your fellowship with the Lord. Grow in you. You know, you measure how close you want to get to God. You decide how much you want to grow in the things of God. Just like I decide. Now the Spirit of God draws, and that's what we want. We want the Spirit of God to draw us and show us things. But as you studying that word and you're just reading, you go, oh my Lord, I never saw that before. Thank you. Letting the Spirit of God move. Letting the I am of the I am come into your heart and life. And letting him change you like he's never changed you before. The power of Almighty God. Praise be unto our God. Praise be unto our God for what he can do. Amen. You may stand, please.